Blog Talk Radio.
And Hotep, welcome to the Care to Read Rooms, and to my old friends, I say Habarigani, and to my new friends, I say Alafia. You may come in and have a seat. Welcome, welcome. Thank you so very much for joining us this Saturday, and we are resuming in that special topic where we interrupted these airways to bring you a special feature topic on foreclosures and tenants' rights, homeowners' rights, and what they can do about getting their homes back and how they can align themselves with support groups. We're going to be talking more about support groups today, and we're also going to ask you to call in because we'd like to entertain your phone calls, and that number that you can reach us on is 646-478-0270. And we do have Mrs. Tanya Dennis back with us, and that is Tanya D. Dennis. And we're going to ask her to give us her pertinent information, such as her email, her website, and where she can be reached at, in case you would like to pursue talking with her about support groups or even maybe talking to her about her new book. Today we're going to be focusing a little bit more on talking to her about her new up-and-coming book, and we're going to have her come back after that book is published to be able to feature her in the book. So we're going to talk a little bit about what was the makeup of that book and what urged her to write that book and exactly what the book is about. So we're going to talk a little bit more with her, and our chat rooms are open for those of you who would like to chat instead of calling in. Please do go in and patronize our chat rooms if you would like to host our chat rooms. You know we always open up an invitation where you can send me an email letting me know you want to co-host that chat room. Today, however, we'd like for you to call in on those digits at 646-478-0270. Why don't you just lock it in, Lil G, and keep it right there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go out and say hello to our guests, and then we're going to come right back after a little house cleaning procedures and do our traditional ritual and do our prayer, because we know we cannot do anything without the guidance of our higher self. So we oftentimes forget when we get too busy, but let me go out and say hello to Tanya and hold tight, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Tanya. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Sherelle?
Just fine, just fine. And Tanya, we are so anxious to talk with you again, and I've invited our listening audience to come into the room. However, if they're too shy, if they will post in the chat room so we can see their questions. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a Saturday. This is a very, very important topic. We've interrupted our airways, and we've stepped away from the startup business. However, I'd like for you to know that we have not forgotten about that topic, and a noteworthy author, a neuroscience educator, Jane Haley, stated that students show that the 4 and 5 and 6-year-old students in heavily academic classrooms tend to become less creative and more anxious without going and to a higher significant advantage over their peers. But she also went on to say that in 2007, a poll that was shot out there, 88% of all the graduate students in the colleges and 83% of all of the postgraduate students, they earn between $150,000 or more. And had they not taken these expensive courses in music, their salaries would not have been as high. Now, we're going to be featuring more topics about music and the ability to increase your salary with taking additional courses in the music industry. And we want you to put that in your pipe and smoke on it, because we're going to come back at you starting next Wednesday on the topic of music industry and how you can use your background in music as a startup. And we'll be right back at you. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take a brief intermission, and we'll be right back at you in a second, if you don't mind. Just sit there, and we will be back with you. Take care. Welcome back, family. Thank you so much for joining the Care to Read room. We know you couldn't frequent any room today on a Saturday, but if you have frequented our room, please come in and join us, and don't hesitate to form your questions. We will have a question and answering segment. However, we would like to get our discussion on the way before you start asking questions. However, you are welcome to come in the chat room and pose your questions. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you would go over to the talking cure area with me and stand in position as if you're ready to receive. We are ready to receive, and most of us laborers who have been laboring in the harvest, we have our hands already held out because we know we're in a position to receive. For those of you who have already lost your homes and who are seeking redemption, for those of you who are in the midst of going through a litigation, I want you to stand with your hands open as if you're about to receive. Ladies and gentlemen, we must manifest the things in the spirit realm so we can see them in the natural. I'm teaching you a concept and a principle, because words were spoken to existence, and that's how the earth was created. God didn't create anything without the spoken word. So let's speak our existence into being, and we can call that thing to us that we desire. If you desire to have your home back, call your homes back today, because we are stepping in and filling in the gap. Mrs. Tanya here is an intercessor, and she intercedes on behalf of those people who are laboring and struggling to get their homes back. She has no other choice. She's been called, noted, and appointed. She even probably wakes up in her sleep at night wondering about the suffering of the people that are going through, because she's an advocate, and that's what advocates do. And that's why I admire her so much for being a part of this show. And ladies and gentlemen, as you stand in position, we'll call on our ancestors and pour libation. And if you have an altar, set up your altar with your glasses of water and pour libation, because water knows no enemy. Our water is a currency, and it's flowing. And if it's not flowing in your life, then things in your life are stagnant. And we're going to get things moving in the realm of the people who have homes that are up for grabs. That currency is going to be moving, because we know water knows no enemy. And as we pour this libation, it represents the currency in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, as I pour libation first to God, who is the highest person in our lives, and we say, Ashe. We also pour libation to our mother and our father spirits. And if you have deceased loved ones that are transitioned and left this earth, please call their name and pour libation. Ashe. I say Ashe to my mother. Ashe. I pour libation to my father's spirit, and I say Ashe. Ashe to Robert Jenkins. I pour libations to the north, and I call forth all those ancestors who might be yet in the middle passage, who are still pushing their way through. Harriet, if you're there underneath that bush, come out and help us. We call on you today. Ashe. We pour libations to the east, and we say Ashe. We call on Shekez Diops that he might come and write one of those fine books that he's written before to inspire us, and I say Ashe. We call on Dr. Martin Luther King and his sweet wife, Coretta King, and I call on them immediately to come and take up residency and assist them, and I pour libation to the north. I pour libations finally to the west, and I call on all of those heroes and sheroes, Dr. Carruthers, Dr. John Henry Clark. I call on Shekez Diop. I call on Jackie Robinson and ask them to knock out oppression and knock another home run down the plate so that we can be able to rejoice and know that we have overcome this thing and that this situation will never happen again in our lives. How could we have been to sleep so long and anesthetized without knowing that this was about to come upon us? Holy Spirit, do not allow anything to come upon us that we are not familiar with and we have no knowledge of. Make us mindful of everything that we are about to embark upon. And today, we call on those homeowners and say, lift up your voices, homeowners, and lift up your heads. You are not alone, that there are many out there for you. If God be for you, then who can be against you? And ladies and gentlemen, you are to call on your ancestors because they're the closest thing you have to heaven. And they're the only one that have your vested interest, and they can get a prayer through. So ask them to open up the ways for you so you can start receiving. There's so many of us with bowed heads who feel like we're defeated, and we think that this giant is too big for us. Yes, we know in the Bible it talked about when they went in, they said there were giants in there. And they said, listen, grasshopper, we can still overtake them. And I'm telling you, grasshopper, even though there's giants in the land, we can overtake them today with the help of our ancestors reuniting with us. And we say, Ashe. And if there's anyone that would like to mention any of their loved ones and call their names, Tanya, is there any names of ancestors that you would like to call in remembrance of your ancestors?
My mother and my father, they're always by my side. Benjamin
Ashe.
Dennis and Denise Dennis.
Ashe, Ashe. They're in the spirit. They have not left us. They are still here with us. And we call these ancestors because we know that in a time of trouble, they can reconnect their spirits back to us, and we are mighty in numbers, and we are mighty in pulling down of the stronghold. Remember, God said that the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. So this is not our battle. So we command God. We command God to assist us. We command God to take over this thing because the battle is truly the Lord's. It is not ours. So we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places. And today we're pulling down those strongholds, ladies and gentlemen. If you're ready, then come on in this room and help us pull down strongholds today. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen. And ladies and gentlemen, you know I can get off on a tangent preaching, and I don't want to do that today. We are going to talk about Tanya's book and how she came to write this book and exactly what is in the book and how can we begin to take our experiences and compile them into a manuscript so that there are many books out there to fight back. So we're going to call on Ms. Tanya D. Dennis, the expert of dealing with advocacy work in the labor of love of foreclosure. Tanya, you have the atmosphere.
Well, I would like to just read two quotes from the front page of my book, which is entitled Saving Your Home from Foreclosure by Any Means Necessary. And if anyone lived during the 60s and they were aware of the Black Panthers, they used that term by any means necessary. And the reason why I chose that title was because during the 60s, during that time, Martin Luther King was on the national scene, and he was being pretty much, he was being acknowledged, but he was being ignored also. And I really felt that when the Black Panthers came on the scene, they provided Dr. King with a fulcrum. And what I mean by that is the Black Panthers provided white America with a choice. You can either do it peacefully, or it's going to happen by any means necessary. And the reason why I took this militant stance in my book is because we have to stand up to the banks. On the front page, on the first page of my book, I start with a quote from the Bible from Hosea 4, verse 6. And it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And that's really what has worked against middle America, their lack of knowledge of what the banks were doing and why they were doing it. And that's why I felt compelled to write this book. The second quote that is on my in my book, the first page, is by our forefather Thomas Jefferson. And he made this quote while he was in a debate over the recharter of a bank bill in 1800. And I just would like to read this. Thomas Jefferson said this, "I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around the banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs." Now, he said that in 1800, before all this malfeasance that we're currently experiencing came to pass. And the reason was this. Our charter in our Constitution designated that banks be public. And they would be public because they would serve the people. Unfortunately, in 1929, the 1% elite decided to get together and go to a place called Jekyll Island. And they conspired to form a private banking system, which is called the Federal Reserve. They used the word federal to throw people off in thinking that it was a public entity. It is privately owned, and it is an entity that exists for profit. There's a book called The Creature from Jekyll Island, A Second Look at the Federal Reserve. It's by G. Edward Griffin that everyone should read. It really opens your eyes as to the banking system that was corrupt even from its conception with the Rothschilds in the 1700s. They stole millions of dollars from the King of Prussia to start their banking system, and it was a crooked scheme, and it's been crooked ever since to exploit peasants and servants in that time and now middle-class America and the poor in this time. I hope that I can render...
Go ahead.
I hope today, because this is my last day until my book is published, which it's in its final read. We're working on, I'm getting some approval from some people that I'm using some of their articles. And as soon as I get that approval, it will go to print. And I hope that it goes to print within the next 2 weeks. But until that time, I would hope to serve as a reference to your listening audience. And I know that a lot of people right now are hurting. They don't know what direction to go. The sheriff is knocking at their door, and they don't have any point of guidance. But as we mentioned yesterday, there's a lot of grassroots organizations out there that are like-minded as the organization that I belong to, which is ACE, the Alliance of Californians for Community Empowerment. There's tenant right groups because tenants have been marginalized and kicked to the curb. Too many tenants have been displaced because they're in a rental property that is foreclosed upon, and they move not knowing that whoever buys that property has to honor that lease. What you would do if you're a tenant in a foreclosed property is that you would go to the sheriff's department. Once you get that notice, they'll put a notice on your door that you have to move, the sheriff is coming in a week or whatever, As soon as you get that notice, you go down to the sheriff's office and you ask for a petition to stay the eviction. When you file that petition, then they will give you a court date. You take your bona fide signed lease and you go to court, and that new owner or that bank has to honor that lease. Now, they may do one of two things. They may give you cash for keys, or they will honor the term of your lease. So don't, the last thing you want to do is react out of fear and move. You do have rights as a tenant. Even though you don't have any rights to the property, your lease is binding, and they have to honor that. If you're a homeowner.
Now, let me ask you a question before you get into the full topic of that. You said something that the listening audience definitely need to focus in on. You mentioned the Constitution, our Constitution. May I remind the listening audience, if you look at the way the Constitution has been written, and when it talks about we the people, you must remember all of those letters that were identified were for white men in power who owned slaves. It did not reference to bondsmen who were not free. We were not free, so truly that Constitution was not written for us. We had no authority in that Constitution. So when they referenced to that Constitution, African Americans were a little bit lower than a refugee or lower than an animal. So we had no rights to that Constitution.
Well,
so
it did change with the 16th Amendment. You're right, when it was first written, we were chattel.
When we looked at the chattel slavery and that whole situation, when those white men, there is a number of documents you can get, when those white men convened to write that Constitution, if you remember when they were putting that Constitution together, there was a lot of discrepancy about who it included, and it sure couldn't include slaves because we were property, and we could not be considered as human. And at that particular point, that is why they will never reinforce it for us, because it doesn't reference to us. If we would challenge that document, but every 10 years I understand that it's ratified, and certain parts of that that Constitution, if not ratified, we lose our rights anyway. So where we're really missing the whole ball of wax is that there are organizations that are forming, that are becoming legal aid groups who are attacking the mere language of the Constitution to deem that it was unconstitutional to X us out of those obligations and rights, and then yet say we still have rights to those things when, in fact, they never included us in the initial writing of the Constitution, is what I'm saying.
In this modern day, they do recognize us as equal, and I'm not so much concerned about ratifying the Constitution as I am by the institutionalized racism that evolved as a result of how they perceived African Americans when they brought them over here.
What I'm saying, Tanya, is that we keep reference to laws that we can't even challenge. Where we're missing it at is that we don't have a team of lawyers of our own to bring about a due process or asking them to answer interrogatories. We have this fear that their law is the only law that exists, but there's a group of people in grassroots. They're not playing this Mickey Mouse game about let's go into the courts and try to challenge them. They're sending right alongside those plaintiffs other advocates to go in with them, and they're challenging them to the law. And I know there's people out there saying, well, why would you want to go in and challenge them to the law, and why would you want to bring up that you are not a citizen and they have no rights over you? You're going to have to look at something, because if we keep going the way we're going, I don't care how much we go in there with our documentation, if they don't honor it, then, and if they're already being bought out and in bed with somebody else, then truly what's going to happen, they're going through the routine, and you're just going through formalities, and your money will hold out, and you have the best of the best lawyers. So what we should be looking at is formalizing teams of lawyers that are willing to give pro bono hours, and those legal people who worked in legal aid who are willing to put together a team, because we need somebody to oversee all this stuff that they're so-called, now that they found misconducts, they're letting the same person that is conflict, that has a conflict of interest, resolve the problem, who was a part of the problem, and nobody is watchguarding all this, and it's happening all over again and again. We got one or two victories in this whole thing, so we've got to look at formalizing court teams of people. I really think that's what's going to have to happen.
Well, you know, I'll reiterate what I just said. I have no problem with the existing laws. What I have a problem with is that they don't even uphold the laws that do exist. That is the real issue. Because if a bank has committed fraud against you, then that nullifies a contract, which means you should get your home free and clear, because fraud nullifies any contract.
Who are you going to make uphold that if they're sitting behind the bench and they're in bed with the agencies because they got to get paid? They're going to find a way to throw a monkey wrench in that and say, well, yeah, you could be right, but technically you're wrong because we found this as a technicality, and then therefore we don't have to reinforce it. And this is happening over and over again. And my question is to you, how long? How long? See, Martin Luther King came in there with how long, but nobody really said we want it now and we don't want to wait any longer. We've got this mentality that they were the ones that created law. We keep forgetting that the Native Americans created this law. This is not the Caucasian's law. This is the law that came from the Native Americans. And truly, the Native Americans came in and claimed sovereign and said, you don't have jurisdictionary over us. And as bad as it may seem, they're on the reservation, but we'd be a lot better off if we were on the reservation. At least we would have some sovereignty and some say so over our lives. But this is getting ridiculous. Now they throw everybody in jail and lock the key, and then they take your homes away and say that you had no recourse because truly, the laws were created, and if you look at all those laws right out of slavery, they were black laws, Tanya, and I'm getting a little heated up because I'm a little tired of this game that's being played, because you got the black laws and the codes that were out there, and those were the codes. If the first beginning of the month you were out there without a job and you had no papers on you, you could be taken to jail. If you were out there clowning and playing around with your master or talking and joking with white folks, you could be taken to jail for exciting the crowd. All of these laws were in place, and then you brought along the policemen to reinforce it. Some of those laws never came off the book, and you're still living by those black codes and black laws, and we're up under those laws. Nobody's governing the whole world with these police departments. You have them governing us and taking conversations that we have and monitoring us, and we still saying we're going to get justice and get free. When will we get justice and get free? When we do something about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you hear what I'm saying, because I'm serious, because we must come together with all of these credentials and degrees we've got and do better than what we're doing. One or two cases is not enough. We've got to see a victory. Go ahead, Ms. Tanya.
One thing that's happened, though, is now that the middle class has become the new minority or the new person of color. I know what you're saying, Sherelle, but these 1% against the 99% is the new reality, and it's about economics. And, let me finish.
See, people don't know what you mean using that. What is the 1%,
okay,
the black people or the white people?
I'm not talking about black and white. I'm talking about rich and poor. That is the new paradigm shift. It used to be when there was enough resources to go along, white against black. But now that our resources are becoming more and more limited as our population expands, and as it expands, the minority is becoming the majority. That is the real fear. White people will become the minority They said 2050, but I think it's going to become sooner than that. And because of that fear, that is why the only way they can control us is through economics. They can no longer control us through their sheer numbers. I think Obama showed that, you know, minorities now control the electorate. There's not going to be a white person ever elected again as president unless minorities deem it so. Hillary Clinton will probably be our next president, but if she is, it won't be because she got all the white vote. She cannot do it without the black vote, the Asian vote, and the Latino vote. So
I know
you have
that.
To ask yourself. Mm-hmm. So what you ask yourself is this: why is this occurring? And you have to look more globally. It's no longer about America. When you saw Cyprus crashing and the economy of Greece and Turkey crashing, you know it wasn't a thing about color. It was a thing about economics. And it just happened that it's happening in America, too. And the whole deal is this, that as the population expands, the people in control are concerned about natural resources, and they want to control the natural resources. They talk about our carbon footprint that we leave on this planet by what we use. And their whole thing is about population control. It ain't about black and white anymore. It's about population control. Why do you think they put so many black men in prison?
You're absolutely right.
They put black men in prison.
You're absolutely right. Let me interject here, because people need to hear this. Most people that are the conscious-minded know that the population control, there is, in the Kerner Report, the effort to look at eliminating blacks by, or not necessarily black, eliminating the population. The population control has gotten out of control. So the one way that they're looking at is using all types of mechanisms for eliminating the population control, and AIDS was one of them, and they talked about how they could eliminate a large number of people, and I think 3 billion people have to be actually completely eliminated from this earth. Then you're looking also at the Japanese. They've already started with the one child with them. So if it is a population control that they're trying to eliminate people, the prisons and the mental health agencies that they are putting people in is their way of eliminating people. So this is all in conspiracy with the Kerner Report. And they also talk about using only melanin-enriched bombs to assassinate people that were melanin-enriched, and those bombs could be easily put out there to only affect people with melanin. So we know about this population control, and it's happening now, people. It's not a reality. It's currently happening now. So you're exactly right about that part. So definitely the people need to know that. Go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, it was the Chinese with the one child law, and they have gotten a lot of accolades from the UN. If you look at the elite like Melinda Gates, who's Bill Gates' wife, she was in Malaysia last week with this birth control initiative worldwide, and that's the agenda. That's what's going on. They're trying to decrease the population. We're now at about 7 billion, and they project will be at 9 billion by 2035, and the elite feel that this earth can comfortably hold 500 million so that the natural resources don't run out. This is the propaganda, at least, that they're espousing. So it goes beyond black and white. It's global, and now they're not only targeting people of color, they're also targeting the middle class. That's why over 10 million white people included, blacks and Latinos, lost their homes between 2007 and 2013, while the World Bank increased their profit 958%. That's, what, $42 million short of 1,000% that they increased their profit while we were losing our homes left and right by the criminality of the banks. So it all comes back, you know, people talk about the conspiracy theory of the Illuminati or the Bilderberg Group or the New World Order. You keep hearing this over and over again, and, you know, I'm not one of those people that are on the fringe, but you start hearing it, and it's a variation on the theme. There has to be some truth to that. And there's the Bilderberg group.
And there is, Tanya. And I wish we had more time to elaborate on it. But, however, that is a whole nother topic for a different time and date. And I'm going to ask, when you come back again to discuss your new book, that you would also remind me that we are to elaborate on that topic, because it's a whole topic within and of itself. And for the benefit of those people who would like to continue on this topic, and I'm going to give out a private number where you can call and you can continue on. And if Tanya will make herself available, I will be available. And if Tanya would like to call in, that 800-543-4738, and that's my private number you can call in on, and we'll continue this conversation. Once again, 888-543-4738. And because our time is upon us and we would like to be courteous to the time constraint, I want to say, Tanya, you were right on the money today in discussing the topics that need to be discussed, because there are hidden reasons behind all of this. You're not losing your homes just because you didn't pay your mortgage on time, or you didn't pay your insurance bill, or you did not escrow your money out. You're not losing your homes because of that. There's a hidden conspiracy behind all of this, and there is a creation of two middle class here. I mean, two classes here. The middle class is gone now, and we only have the rich and the poor. And if we're eliminating footprints, and we only want to have carbon footprints of only a lesser amount of people by the year of 2015, they're working on that now. So as we look at how they are executing and killing off people, it's called a genocide, and that's what we're looking at, is a genocide. Like it or not, there's a large amount of people that are going to go, and some of them are considered as imbeciles who are not black. They want the imbeciles and the people that are not useful to leave this planet, to have more oxygen so that those other rich people can live. We all know that. And this conspiracy has gotten out, and a lot of people understand what those projects was all about. It truly was a project. Now they've mowed the project down, so where did those people go? And why didn't anyone see them leave their houses? Was there an underground? Did they leave through the tunnels? And what is going on? The question is, what is going on, as Marvin Gaye would say? And we're going to continue our discussion, and you can call us at 888-543-4738, because there's a lot of other people that need to hear this. And we want to thank Mrs. Tanya D. Dennis for being with us all 3 days of this great conversation, and this topic was so badly needed. I thank you so much, Tanya, for lending us your time and your expertise, and we're going to ask that you definitely put us on your list to come back to discuss your book once it's completed, and we will invite you back, and you're welcome in the studio anytime you need a platform. So thank you so very much, and do call in, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to end this conversation because we are up on our time here, but we're not out of words. We are still in the business. We're going to say a quick prayer here. We reach out our hands to those who are in distant, far places, who are still yet struggling and who are still yet calling on their ancestors from the Middle Passage. Do not fear. They are already with you, and they've been with you. They've never left you. Just hold on to God's unchanging hand. He said this too will pass. This is only temporary. What we're looking at is an illusion. It doesn't exist. It's not here. You have actually died, and you are living in hell now. But the real place you will go when you give up these bodies and you take on a glorious body, and you will be able then to stand through anything. You'll be immortal. So live and know that your ancestors are immortal now, and they've gone from ancestralship, from eldership to ancestralship, and they are in a free place. Do not think it's strange, because death is never the end. So call on your ancestors, Eli, and they will pick you up and make you strong. And they will hold you in their other loving arms so tight that there will be no harms that can get to you, and the winds and the waves, you can command them to cease. And I command the banks, I command the mortgages to cease with this nonsense, and we call on the spirits to stand up and be the watchmen on the wall. And if there's anything else that we have not said today to cover the grounds that we are treading and giving us protection, we are taking on the understanding that we have the right to decree a thing. We have decreed that this nonsense with taking of the homes, leaving people homeless, living under bridges, we decree that this will stop. And God, we decree that you will watch over your word to perfect it. You said we would have the success and we would prosper, as so as our souls shall prosper. We're decreeing today and commanding you to watch over your word so that we might become in good standing. We are sons and daughters of the Most High, and there's no way you can leave prince and priests outdoors looking into their house from a distance. We are claiming these homes and that these people will have their homes back, and we're asking that they get the deed free and clear. It's Jubilee time. You must believe it. It is time for us to receive, and the word said that we will be the head and not the tail. It's time for us to be the head and not the tail. I decree it, and it's so, saith the Lord. And if there's anything that you'd like to say, Tanya, as a last word, please jump right in there. The Spirit is moving in this room today. Go ahead.
Well, very quickly, I know some people do want to litigate against the banks, and I encourage them to Google borrowers' defenses to foreclosure, and the author, his last name is spelled L-E-E-N. He's an attorney. David Lean, L-E-E-N, Borrowers' Defenses to Foreclosure. And it'll give you a step-by-step process of how to save your home in the courts.
Very good. Thank you so very much, Tanya. You have been an asset, and people do not hesitate. Tanya, give us your email and your website where people can reach you in the event they want to join the support group.
My email address is my name, TanyaDDennis@yahoo.com, and that's spelled TanyaDDennis@yahoo.com. And my website is Sue Wells Fargo. That's a private thing I've got going on. So if you want to access and follow what I'm doing with Wells Fargo in the courts, it's Sue Wells Fargo. You'll see a YouTube video of me telling you why it's necessary to sue the banks on YouTube.
Oh. Well, Tanya, we're going to say a special prayer for you because you must know that you are under attack and your family is, but we're going to say a special prayer that the hedges may be around you. And we will, if you continue to pray for Tanya, because she's out there in the belly of the well and she's out there in the midst where she can be attacked at any time. We're going to pray hedges around her and that the great work that she has to do, that there will be no harm or danger come to her, and that she will be divinely and rightly protected by the Most High, because the work that you have to do, we have to pray ahead around those people who are out there on the front line, and she's truly out there. And God bless you, Tanya, and the work you're doing, continue to do it. And the teachers, I want to call your names again. You have to come out and support this effort. Your numbers are great, and your support is great. Come out and support what Mrs. Tanya Dennis is doing, and if you can join support groups or form support groups, I'm counting on you teachers to stand up, because we are the watchmen on the wall, and there's nobody else that's going to come. We are the ones that we've been waiting for. I ask you the question, is you the one? Is you the one that they set the table for and they've been waiting for? I think we're the one, and we've been looking everywhere else, but we're the ones to solve our own problems. Let's get ready to solve the problem and take our homes back and stand up, because this land is our land, and this land is not just the USA. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who actually stepped out there, and he's already fought this battle, ladies and gentlemen. The battle is not yours. Quit fighting. Give in and allow the Most High to step forward and command God to fight your battles, because he said he would, that you would have good success and prosper, so as your soul shall prosper. Now let your souls prosper today. Take your homes back. take your mental stability back and take your minds back, because they're out to get your minds and confuse you and take away your peace. But don't let anyone take away your peace in this struggle. Know that you are strong and mighty. I have a story to tell, and I'm writing my book too. You guys have heard my story. And one thing I like to say is that the military people who were active duty men and women were supposed to be protected from this storm. Their homes were off limits and protected. Now, my question is, why weren't the civilian homes protected who put the time in and who served overseas and served royally? They, too, should have had some protection to prevent them from being foreclosed on because of the work they've done abroad and the work that they still are doing. Now, somewhere along the line, we've got to get a movement going for the civilians for protection, because they're coming back and they're being seized upon.